Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks for this Monday, the 18th day of January 2021. I am David Ellis, and John Stout is with me today, taking you through until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. As usual, you can call us at 4341790. With all the focus that there has been on COVID-19, there's some other issues that really have been forgotten or virtually forgotten. Here's one. This is said to be making the rounds in Antigua, but it is relevant to people in Barbados as well. The writer says, imagine waking up one day after decades of diligently laboring for an employer, and this employer you trusted sends you home while withholding even the salary that you have already worked for. Imagine the pain of being forced to endure the current global pandemic without any financial help, all while having families to support, bills to pay. And this in circumstances where that former employer has sent you home without a penny of due entitlements. This is the dark reality for hundreds of former Liat employees. It all began on April 1st, 2020, when over 90% of Liat staff were temporarily laid off without being given proper notice and pay. In October 2020, approximately 90% of the total staff was then made redundant, weeks after the controversial temporary layoff deadline had expired. This group included pilots, flight attendants, engineers, ground support personnel, and others. At the time that the layoffs and terminations were made effective, Liat was majority owned by four CARICOM shareholder governments. The company was publicly touted as an essential service, which was critical to regional connectivity. This shocking and troubling reality now is that these former employees have not received any monies legally due to them, inclusive of severance entitlements, despite numerous pleas to those who are responsible. This ongoing ordeal is nothing short of despicable. The deplorable handling of this matter is having a catastrophic impact on the hundreds of families in the region. Even the innocent children in these households are victims of this injustice. And this is not the Caribbean way. To add insult to injury, the Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda has enacted legislation after the fact that will allow the insolvent Liat to continue operating whilst completely immune to any form of court action. Subsequently, it was publicly admitted that Liat is burning through approximately $500,000 every month. This while its oppressed former workers suffer. After years of sour industrial relations and disadvantaging its employees, Liat continues to leverage itself on the backs of the people who kept it in the sky for 50 years. Critical funds that are rightfully owed are being withheld from loyal people who had nothing to do with Liat's demise. Even the handful of employees who were fortunate enough to retain their employment are reportedly being deprived of their salaries, wages. Is this fair? The overall treatment meted out to these hardworking individuals by a CARICOM institution such as Liat, particularly the withholding of and failure to address something as important and fundamental as severance and other entitlements, is a regional travesty. The writer concludes by saying that the former Liat ex-staff need your help to bring awareness to this ongoing and unjust situation. Please take a moment to forward this message to as many as you can. That is something that has gone under the radar to a large extent because we have been so consumed by COVID. But it remains an important issue that we must address. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Let's take the first call of the day.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, you know, last time I had a conversation with you on the air, you remember I told you about what the scientists had began to find out with this COVID and people who had took the vaccine and how they now become spreaders of the virus. And a lady called in and told you that, I tell you that, one, where you get this information from and back. But don't you know that over the weekend, this same bit of information that I have given you came over CBC on the radio station? No, I will let you ask that later.
I will let you to send me the to the specific website that you got it from. Hold on a minute. Just tell me. I'd like to get that from you.
I will go to the person that sent that to me. I will go to ask them.
I don't want that information just put out there like that. I'd like it to be supported. Because I want to tell you something, you know, because you all are not the only people. You're not the only people who read, but, you know, and there's a lot that is being put out there. In those circumstances, no, I'm getting in contact with no CBC. If you make a claim along those lines, just send me to the particular website or source of the information and I will do so.
Okay, no problem. I will see if I get it for you. The other thing, Mr. Ellis, is that if that's the case, and people who were isolated and who went to isolation, and when their second test proves to be negative, don't you have the bit of suspicion that those people might be still carrying that virus? Although,
if they're tested to be negative?
On the second test.
Well,
but they only went to isolation. I am beginning to wonder.
I don't know that the science is indicating that. From all that has been said, you can test negative now.
Yeah.
And you can go and test positive later, depending upon the circumstances, what you've been up to and that sort of thing, who you've been exposed to. So, you know, I don't know that the science is indicating that people who have actually tested negative and having done nothing more are still carrying the virus. And I recognize that we have a lot of theories, a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff surrounding this particular virus. And in a world of the unknown, this is not surprising. But we have to be very careful that we do not create an environment where there is so much doubt and suspicion that people do not take advantage of whatever health solutions there may be out there.
That's
because
true.
You come across like a total skeptic.
No, I would say that. I follow like you do. I follow the science. I would say that. No. But the thing about it, there's something that's I'm looking forward to if I live with the if Trump is going to change his mind.
About what?
About the inauguration on Wednesday of turning up, of attending it. Otherwise, again, he will break a record being the first president in the United States never turn up to the inauguration. And that would look very bad.
Well, Trump has done a lot of other things that other people considered to look bad, but it didn't matter to Trump and his supporters. To them, you know, they have their own path. And he continues to have a lot of supporters out there.
Oh, yeah, 90 million is a lot of people. 90 million.
I didn't hear 90 million, but quite a lot of supporters nonetheless. 70-something million people voted for him. And he may very well have support beyond the 74 million people who voted for him. But this is where America has become a very bitterly divided country. And it is really fascinating to see that the president has become the standard bearer of largely the right wing and the extreme elements. Because there's no doubt about it. He carries some people who are moderates, but he carries also some extremists. And while the Republicans have railed against the left in the Democratic Party, the extreme right in the Republican Party has gone under the radar and virtually unnoticed until the mob stormed the Capitol building.
Yeah, my last point to you, Mr. Ellis, is that now we started back with online for the students. There was a primary school that really, I'm so interested to hear what is going to become of that. The headmaster said that it don't make sense going online when some of the children do not have the tablets and the equipment to work with. So they were asked the minister, Sandra Bradshaw, education was supposed to take the additional tablets to this particular private school, but up to last week, they did not receive them. So I think that ambassador was stating that it would make sense you opening school online when some of the students do not have the tablets to work with. So I'm willing to hear if any more of that development will come over. All right, thank you, sir.
All right, sir. Down to brass tacks, good morning.
Good morning, blessed day to you.
Yes, welcome to the program.
Thank you. And I must say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Although, sometimes you might think, what is there to rejoice about? The main fact that we have woken up this morning, we can see the sun, we can hear the birds, we can see each other. Those are things to give thanks for, life itself. I am calling to encourage, I think they're young people, two young people who called in sometime last week. I can't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday, about some struggles they were having mentally and so on. And I just want to encourage them to seek help. Don't take it all in. Seek help. And there is an organization called the Family Heartbeat Ministries. It's in Belcher. And the number is 429-5757. 429-5757. The gentleman, that he said he came into a lot of money, and now there's a lot of confusion and things like that. And when he was speaking, I said, maybe he shouldn't go around telling people he has come into a lot of money. You get where I'm coming from?
No.
Because, yes. But if he's saying, I've come into, and he said it about five times during the talk, and he sounded very distressed. And he said it about five times while he was speaking. I've come into a lot of money, I've come into a lot of money. But there's a lot of confusion and distress in his life. So, and he says he wants some help. He wants help. This is a counseling organization.
Now, are you here to promote the organization, or are you here to help the man?
I'm here to help the man, and promoting anything, because even the other young lady, that she says she's having issues with persons, and she had problems mentally and so on. If she's not able to pay this place, they do pro bono as well, right? So that she will get some free help if she calls, right?
All right, ma'am. Okay, ma'am.
I'm interested.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, morning, sir.
Greetings and salutations to yourself and a blessed 2021. Mr. Ellis.
Yes,
I am more than very pleased with the judgments today given by the senior magistrate and reasons why he had given bail to someone committing a traffic offense. That has caused me, sir, to make reflection on police matters. It is believed that the police public relations officer, whether acting or permanent, has the authority to bring the public attention and up to date with matters of importance, while at the same time educating all and sundry. We are more than fortunate to have a police force that possesses a high level of professionalism without the help from overseas agencies namely Canadian Mounted Police, Scotland Yard, or FBI. Yet, at the same time, our local officers are called upon to assist in the investigations in regional matters. However, sir, I have one open question. How many unsolved murders we have in this country, ranging from Butler's Avenue, Spooner's Hill, to Paul St. John, whose vehicle is still in legal possession at Station Hill? Listen, for what
I think the question of unsolved murders in Barbados has long been a burning one. We've had all sorts of talk about cold case squad and all of that, but you know, all of these things are forgotten largely because the media sometimes takes its eyes off of things of this nature. And I think it would be worth the while to have a look and do a bit of research, somebody in the media to do some research on this particular area, to see how that particular profile has changed over the years. There's no doubt in my mind that it has changed significantly, but you need the actual figures to support it. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon. Good morning, David.
Yes, morning.
I want to tell the COVID-19 personnel the need to take some close look into Bridgetown, especially those areas where persons are gathering. I saw yesterday, and I heard that they shut down an arcade right there on Marl Street. And I know there are others areas down that area that people clustered very close, very close. And the COVID-19 people need to get down and bridge down and check out those areas. If not, this thing is spread even wider. I heard Mark this is Mark from the other program speaking about his burial. If he died, he wouldn't be able to put what he put in his bill, because he wanted to let his state for at least a week. And the funerals now, he said the funerals now, a lot of people cannot attend funerals because of COVID-19. But David, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Won't you answer me? I don't know if you heard, you know, because of the COVID-19 now, you know that people that live in down Westbury Road and Spring Garden cannot bury at Westbury Cemetery? You know that?
They can't do what?
They cannot bury at Westbury Cemetery. People live
why
in
is
Westbury
that?
Road, you know. Huh?
Why?
On the latest idea, there's a joke. If you live in Canterbury.
Oh, okay.
You're gotcha. Very dead people.
All right.
Are you enjoying the program? I keep it up.
All right. A little levity early in the morning. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You on the air?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Okay. I call this man into
just speak up a bit for me, please.
To express my frustration, I was at Queen Elizabeth Hospital since yesterday morning, and I was discharged last night, and I decided that I would stay there so that I can get my medication early, join the line for the pharmacy. I got there about 5 o'clock this morning. When I got there at the pharmacy line, I was number one. By the time the medication ready to serve, 5 persons ahead of me. Nurses, quarterly. I made an inquiry as to where were these persons. No answer. So I asked myself, why is it that you give a ticketing system when you know that the ticketing system is not as accurate as it should be? Is there anything you can say about Mr. Ellis?
Yeah, it's difficult for me to forward a solution to that. You know, everything must be taken in the context of what's happening in the QEH. I have no doubt that they are under tremendous pressure trying to cope with this situation. I think this is more challenging today than it was last year when we first had to deal with COVID. And therefore, those people who are actually using the service at the QEH are going to have to be patient and tolerant and expect the unexpected in that regard. A lot of time and energy is being expended in trying to reassure Barbadians that everything is under control. And while we believe that many things are under control, not everything can be under the kind of control that we have grown to expect over the years. So you can anticipate the kind of situation that you're talking about there. There may be others. I mean, there's some people, because you know, when people are dealing with the hospital, they're very reluctant to come out and say exactly what's happening to them. They always feel vulnerable in that regard.
But David, if I was not the kind of person that I am, things could have escalated, because it's like people made sacrifices to be there early. They leave home early, they came out early. And lo and behold, five ahead of you, that was in order.
You know, what you don't know is what are the issues that the staff have been facing. Because this is one of those situations where they're not going to necessarily going to come and tell us everything. I mean, let's be realistic about how things run. The whole idea is to try to grapple with the problem, and you don't want to create any alarm or any panic as they see it. And in those circumstances, not every issue that they face will be told to us. So when you look at the response of the availability of the staff, you need to take into consideration that they may be facing some challenges that they haven't told us about.
Well, that is correct. The staff needs to be treated properly so that they can treat us properly, the public, the visiting public. But it could have also caused a problem that is unnecessary, because it's like, the noise could have escalated due to the fact that you thought that you're number one. You made the sacrifice only to find out otherwise. But I guess that's part of life.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
This is Don DeBrassax. Hello.
The Liat situation is a hot potato. And it seems like nobody can heal it. It is sick, and it is sad. 800 people working in Antigua on a small airline. You can almost hold it in the palm of your hand. 800 people. The only person who does not see this as a problem is the leader of Antigua himself. Problem that is there, he will have to solve it himself.
You believe that it has to be solved only by the leader of Antigua? Let me ask you, what about the Barbadians who have been working with Liat? What about the people in other Caribbean countries? I agree with the person who wrote that piece and circulated it. It really is a travesty. I mean, how could you treat people in this region this way? And hardly a word from anybody about that aspect of the problem. These people complain bitterly. Nobody responds. Where these people come from? Mars? They don't live here. They're not our citizens. It is outrageous what they have done to those people. The way that they have treated them is poor.
It is, and I believe in the not too distant future, all concern will have to sit down and say, well, all right, this is the best that we can do. This is what we will do, and this is the best that we can do. But a lot of the leaders have made it bad. They have put people on the payroll that should not be there. You know it, I know it.
But my friend, while that may be so, what about the people who put in real effort, who kept Liat flying for all of these years? Must they pay the price for that? Is this where we have come to in relation to a matter of this nature?
I believe it will be solved. I believe it will be settled. But
you know, your belief that it will be solved and settled is one thing. But this has been going on for so long. And as the person said, these people, these workers, or former employees, are caught in the midst of a pandemic. There must be something that can be said to them. There must be some approach that can be taken in sitting down and trying to find some kind of solution to this situation. They may not get all that they're entitled to, but you can't just leave them out there in limbo like this all this time.
Yes, I believe others will have something else to say. Thank you kindly.
All right, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hi, good morning, David.